Is the Holy Spirit restoring the church today something closer to what Jesus really meant when he said, "I will build my ecclesia," a kingdom community of Christ followers who bring heaven's culture into all spaces and places? If the church is as vital to the big story that God is pursuing as the New Testament claims, then we really can't afford to get this wrong. Now, what about you? Are you vitally connected to a kingdom of faith? Most of us may have to transition our understanding of what Jesus is actually building. Understand this: the macro affects the micro in our lives. The big thing that Jesus is building enhances the issues of our life, our relationships, well-being, finance, purpose, destiny, our contribution that we make. This is part two of my provocative conversation with Hope Taylor, an influencer in a movement today that is seeing the church restored to the concept of ecclesia that Jesus taught. Listen to part one of our conversation in episode 6 of Jesus Smart, the podcast. Visit the show notes page for this episode for a free one-page download, The Meaning of Ecclesia. And you can see those show notes at jesussmart.com. That free resource will be available within 12 hours of the release of this podcast. Here's my conversation with Hope Taylor. I've been reading some people lately, Hope, like N.T. Wright, mm-hmm. you know, the Anglican theologian, very accessible reading, but just profound insights about the kingdom. People like John Eldridge with Ransom Heart, his new book, All Things New, where he really just paints a whole different view of our future theologically.
Right.
The new heavens and the new earth, but pulling back and thinking big now and thinking about, you know, we're forever going to be involved creatively in enterprise in Jesus' kingdom. It's not going to be an eternal church service.
Right.
We will be creating, we will be fulfilling our individual callings forever.
Yeah.
We might as well start now. We're born again for that purpose, you know. Others as well. Dallas Willard is with the Lord now, but he wrote along some of these lines. And so yeah, there's the personal application, but I love what you're saying. How is this set into larger spheres, right? Like my family or my business or my church or my community, my nation.
It's true. Well, we come to Christ, and even myself, we all come to Christ out of need, don't we? We come to Christ out of need. You know, we have revelation of where we're... So we come out of need, but we got to go beyond that. You know, we have to go beyond personal need to the corporate call that God's put on us as a body of Christ. So I appreciate what you're doing and getting the message out, so to speak, to call. Number one, to inform. Number two, to educate. Number three, to mobilize the body of Christ. I think those are a key, you know.
Yeah. I mean, people may have senses of calling that fit into like the educational space, and they need to feel very noble about
right.
that and very empowered,
absolutely.
Right? That this is something very significant, or if it's media,
yeah,
right?
I've just come out of a prolonged study of the book of Ephesians. And can I just encourage us?
Oh yes, that's a
can I just
crowning
encourage
jewel
us
of the
all,
New Testament.
I, you know, I didn't start yesterday following being a Christ follower. I didn't start yesterday. I've been doing it for a little while. And
yeah.
I have to say this to us all, to encourage us all. You know, you never exhaust the Word of God. You never can exhaust it. You'll never dig to the end of it. It's
absolutely
always
true.
Life-giving. It's always encouraging. It's always insightful. So you're kind of catching me at a moment, having spent a few months in the book of Ephesians, and just the depth
the
of that. It's a great, great well. So I just encourage our listeners, you know, to be reminded today the value of the Word of God and the value
absolutely.
Of digging into it and letting God
stay in it.
We may have read it. We may have thought we've understood it. But when we go back to it again and just park ourselves there.
Keep going in the Word. Don't
exactly.
Stop.
The layers of revelation continue to unfold. But anyway, as it would tie to this, out of Ephesians 3, it gripped me. Let's see. Let me just jump in here. I love the Apostle Paul's humility. I love it. You know, he talks about the very least of the saints, grace was given, etc. And then he says, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery for which all ages have been hidden in God. In verse 10, finally, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers, the authorities, and the heavenly places. So just one more time, verse 10, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, through the ecclesia, if you will, to who? The rulers, authorities, and heavenly places. You know, I had the thought, Ryan, that what the Apostle Paul, it's like he's assembled his top generals into a room. I just want you to visualize. Okay. This is kind of the way I would say it to maybe to try to communicate. Mm-hmm. He's assembled his top generals, military leaders in a room, and he's giving them, he's talking to them and communicating to them, almost like a pregame speech, you might say. And he's saying to them, I don't want you to misunderstand what your role is. I don't want you to misunderstand what your assignment is. Don't miss this point. And he says, this is not just about contending with ideas or philosophies. Mm-hmm. This is about, if you will, taking the eternal, what he calls the manifold wisdom of God, and packaging it and presenting it in a way that even the spiritual powers that be, if you will, on the dark side,
yes,
are now having...
That would be those terms, rulers and authorities, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's it right there. That's it right there. That even those would understand the wisdom of God. So to me, as I read it and reread it, et cetera, I just began once again to think, it's almost like you're sitting at the feet of the king himself, and he's saying, I want you to understand, this is for who wins the major battle, the major war. This is about who is going to be victorious when it's all said and done. And it's in that context, almost like, again, a historic military general calling his leaders together and trying to put in them the significance of what they're about to do. Well, that's what I want to say to the church and to my own life and to all of us as followers, leaders in Christ, whatever sphere God has chosen to give us.
Mm-hmm.
Our assignment is, if you will, that we would, can I just say it like this, that we would look into the eyeballs of evil systems and structures.
Come on.
And we would not back off. But our assignment and grace of God, again, is to make known the wisdom of God, even to that level, if you will, the depths of depravity and evil. That's our calling. That's our assignment. So when we started on this conversation talking about ecclesia, that is what the ecclesia is called to do.
Oh, let's just camp there for a moment if we could. I mean, you mentioned something earlier that was interesting. You called it divine intel or God intel or something,
intel,
right?
Yeah, intel, yeah.
You know, wow. I mean, Jesus is supremely brilliant, and he has information and intelligence about everything, right?
Correct.
Like gender,
right?
Sexuality, marriage, how relationships work, how business works, how enterprise works, education, what's the best intel about education,
mm-hmm.
how to educate, what is the very nature of education, technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
Business. And you're saying that this manifold wisdom of God, we don't want to, when we talk about the wisdom of God, we just don't want to say it like in the church world, do we?
No. It's not limited there, right? Yeah, correct.
I mean, the church world is a place to be equipped. It's a place, but I mean, really, in a sense, the wisdom of God is manifested out there,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
In society, in culture, in these spaces. And so you're saying this is a call to the big war picture?
Yes, I think so.
That we are called to manifest or show forth the manifold wisdom of God
mm-hmm.
to the powers that be.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the strongest, the most depraved. I just want us to understand this is not the minor leagues, it's the major leagues, spiritually speaking. So if our context is ecclesia, government of God, etc., we have to understand we're not just beginning here. This is about who's victorious, and this is David and Goliath. This is who, at the end of the day, whose God is recognized as the God, who's victorious, who's defeated. And so the mantle that God has put on the church in our lifetime, in our day, mm-hmm. is that we, if you will, would display the wisdom of God, the power of God, the government of God throughout all culture.
Yeah. I mean, the wisdom of God clearly outperforms all other so-called wisdom, right? The ideas of Jesus clearly outperform. We have to understand that. And, you know, lately, Hope, one of the things that's been resonating in me in recent months, really, but is like the king. You mentioned the mm-hmm. king. He is authoritative. He's also he's the designer.
Right.
And that there is this sense in which sin is a departure from design. And, you know, the adversary cannot design or create.
Mm-hmm.
He can only corrupt what has been designed and, you know, degrade it, cause it to be depraved. Like, for example, we were having a big conversation recently on another podcast about the nature of sexuality. And you know, I mean, sexuality comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Gender comes from God. But the enemy can only degrade or corrupt or mutate it
mm-hmm.
into other forms. And so, like, today we supposedly have 68 genders.
Hmm.
Well, you know, when we come to Jesus, we're born again, our mind begins to be renewed, we get the call comes back to design,
right,
about gender, for example. So I love that verse, Ephesians 3:10.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Some people call Ephesians the crowning jewel of the New Testament, you know. You know, I got a quote here by Ed Silvoso related to this understanding of ecclesia that we're discussing. He says, the ecclesia was understood to mean both the institution and the system by which territories were governed,
mm-hmm.
by
mm-hmm.
selected local leaders who had been infused with the culture and customs of Rome to rule on its behalf.
Hmm.
And so, again, is Jesus looking for this from his church? Is he really looking for us for this, that we would be communities of influence that would be infused with the culture and customs of the kingdom of God, if you will?
Right, right.
To rule on its behalf.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, I came into the kingdom, again, I mentioned before, you know, out of the drug culture, et cetera, and, you know, again, very focused on individual personal deliverance, that sort of thing. But there was a time, Brian, and you may remember this, when in the body of Christ, let's go back in time to the charismatic days. And what you saw was a number of people that had an experience, but they didn't know how to really steward that and walk forward in that. They had a powerful experience, but how do they apply that? How do they walk that out? And so what happened was you saw a lot of people begin to try to connect here or there, and they had to. They had to connect with, if you will, like-minded people in order to feed and take them beyond just an experience into a revelation, how to walk that out, the application of it.
Okay.
I think we're in a similar day in this, that when God is speaking ecclesia and God's speaking that to people, there are some people that will be in a setting to where it's totally a curveball to them. They don't understand and how to walk forward. So I just would like to take a moment and say to listeners,
okay,
you know, if they're in a place to where their historical roots are, and it's not really, I'm going to say it this way, Brian, challenging them to move forward.
Okay.
Revelation is never just about information. It's about information that leads to application. So when God gives them a revelation, we really become responsible. What are we going to do with that?
That's right.
So as God begins to reveal this understanding of ecclesia, cultural influence, reformation, etc., I want to say to listeners, you know, it may be that time when they need to look at how can I connect with, if you will, like-minded believers. I'm not asking anybody to abandon your history, but I'm saying maybe we need to look at some shifts to connect with those that can help give us understanding and how can we walk forward in the revelation that God has now entrusted to us. And so, you know, I think about David and Goliath sometimes. Brian, I think about, you know, that day, David, the scripture talks about, he had to, if you will, break rank. He had to step outside of his historically where his position was in order to deal with the contending voice of that day. So I don't see myself as a radical in that sense of the word, but I think revelation will place a demand on us to step outside of our beaten path that we walked in.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to do like David did that. We've got to be willing to find those that can, if you will, help us walk out what God is trying to show to us. Why is that? The reason is because what's at stake? What's at stake is seeing culture transform, seeing God, obviously God glorified, right?
Right.
But seeing culture transform,
absolutely,
seeing culture, like they said in the early days of the church, you know, they've come here and they've turned it upside down. Well, really, if you want to look at it, our call is, in fact, I like to invert that a little bit and say, we're not trying to turn it upside down. We're trying to turn it upside right. You know, we're trying to get things correct. So anyway, I just wanted to give a real practical note there, mm-hmm. that possibly there are those who would be hearing that maybe revelation would put a demand on us to say, how do I need to connect with others? What vehicles, what sources, how can I connect with others that help me understand ecclesia and help me understand how can I walk forward in that?
Mm-hmm. Boy, I know I've thought about these things, Hope, and I know that when you're first born again, let's say you first come to the Lord, and it's within some setting. It may be within a denominational setting or a doctrinal belief system or a certain understanding. You know, I have a good friend who says that, you know, the quality of converts to Christianity is determined by the quality of the presentation. Mm-hmm. So there is sort of an ethos, sort of a culture, you know, a belief system that, but what happens when a new revelation comes eventually that's strong on you mm-hmm. and won't leave, and that system doesn't contain that revelation or practice? So this is what you're pushing on a little bit, right?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And so we have to be willing at that point to seek the Lord and to transition, if necessary, somehow, and maybe we could talk about how to do that practically, but not be limited by the beliefs, the denominational belief system that we were born again within.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound, I'm certainly not meaning to sound heretical, of course. There are certain key beliefs that carry through core, you know, Christology, our belief about right. Christ, you know, salvation, redemption, the nature of God, and so forth. But what do we do practically? Because I think that there are people that have a divine frustration on them, hope, that mm-hmm. are within settings or the current people that they know in the Lord,
yes.
in the body of Christ, are not on these frequencies. What do they do? Do they need to find other group, other affiliations as well?
I think so.
You know, somehow network.
My counsel would be: I'm not one that advocate in any way, you know, just disconnecting from your history. I think you need to be very wise anytime you make a shift like that. I think God always builds layer upon layer.
I like that, building layer upon layer.
So that doesn't mean you
disjointedness.
Exactly. You don't throw a cast of stone at what has, you know, decades has been what God's used in you. You find out, oh, Lord, how can I take what now you're showing me? And if you will build it on the shoulders of what you've shown me in the past, how do you do that? So I see it like this, Brian. Again, I don't think we have to abandon the people. I don't think we have to abandon even, you know, situations. But we do have to broaden, and we have to find those that God can use to speak
into. Abandon versus broaden.
There you go. There you go. So find those and connect, add them into your world. And there was a time, you know, denominationally, you had to commit. You got to be a part of this denomination is what you had to do.
Like a silo.
Yeah, exactly. Then if you think about, even if we can talk about some of our culture, you know, the apostolic movement and networks and so forth, it was almost like there was an ownership mentality. You know, well, you're a part of this network, and therefore you, but thank the Lord, you know, he's helped us understand, you know, Christ, the only one, Christ is the one that owns us. No man owns us. And so therefore he's helped us understand, even in this, if you will, stream of the body of Christ,
yeah.
the people that come up, you can be connected as a family here, but that does not mean that that's the only ones you connect with that speak into
yes.
your world. Maybe you speak into them. So just a real practical point that I wanted to slip in there for us today.
I love it, because that's where people are at. And if you don't deal with that somehow, you are not going to really grow in these things, are
right,
you? You're
exactly.
not going to develop in these things. I mean, I was just reading recently in my own devotional time, you know, 1 Corinthians 3, the passage with Paul, and he's chiding them because some were saying, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Christ, I'm of Peter, these different schisms, you know, it's kind of that silo thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up saying towards the end of that chapter that actually all of these gifts are for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This whole spectrum of apostolic giftings or leaders or streams, whatever mm-hmm. you might want to call it, is for you. And then he tells them that you actually own all things. In fact, they are yours. These giftings are there for you. And all things belong to you. You belong to Christ. Christ belongs to God. Some of our ecclesiology in practice is so sometimes dysfunctional
mm-hmm.
and toxic. We have to be careful. But I love what you're saying there, Hope, about not abandoning your foundation, your roots, and broadening instead of abandoning. So, practically speaking, is this something that people can do online? Do we find, good inputs and affiliation online? Love it when online stuff becomes analog and it actually becomes in the real world
right.
of real relationships as well, not
exactly,
just digital.
Exactly,
but,
yeah, exactly.
But what can we do in that regard? I mean, certainly we can read.
Right.
There's a great emerging literature that's coming out on this and resourcing.
I think there, yeah. I think there, you know, again, you mentioned there, you know, it's unlimited the amount of information that's out there in terms of revelation, teaching, et cetera. You always connect. But you used a key word there that I want to just emphasize for a moment, Brian, and that is the word relationship. You know, I think we can be fed and God can use things, you know, online, even, you know, like a podcast to feed and speak something and spark something in the heart of somebody.
Yep.
So they thank God for that. But if the Lord really begins to reveal something to you, you just need to dig deeper, and you need to find who it is. Who is it that is carrying something that God is speaking to you about that you need to cultivate something out of that. So how do you do that? Try to go beyond just one podcast. Try to find who it is that's putting that, how to connect with them on a greater way. I always think revelation always demands change. You know, it always demands change. And revelation is always, if you will, going to tweak our relationships. It'll always do that. Revelation tweaks it because it's going to mean you now have got to find those and connect with those that carry that sense of revelation that you're carrying. So go beyond just, if you will, you know, a book. Try to connect with people that are carrying
you're
something.
Right.
And I think the Lord always works through the context
of
relationship.
Currency, man, it's right there on those connections.
Exactly.
Right? It runs
exactly.
on them. Yeah. I mean, the books are helpful. And the online stuff and the television, whatever. But conferences are helpful. We come.
Absolutely.
I like to think of conferences as conferring with God, conferring with each other. But there needs to be a sustained relational, organic development. No doubt about it. And Jesus does reserve the right to adjust our relationships.
Absolutely.
As we develop through seasons of our journey and through our life. That's for sure. I mean, I like what one speaker says, you know, one day all the strings are going to be pulled together in the new heavens and the new earth. But until then, there seem to be seasons. It took me a long time to realize this, you know?
Yeah.
I used to think that all my friends would be lifers early on.
Yeah,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right,
I just
right.
couldn't imagine that about 60% of them would not be, or more maybe.
Yeah.
And some are, but most aren't. And seasons come and different people come
sure.
in. And I think it's the Lord's way of sort of agitating us, provoking us in a good way to develop so much here. As we close, Hope, I mean, we are in a time of disturbance, I think, in a good way. I mean, some people may not process it in a good way, but I believe that it's a good way. There's something in business called disruptive innovation, where an industry is disrupted, a certain business sector is disrupted by a new invention, a new company, a new startup. Are we in disruptive innovation right now?
Yeah, I think we're in that. The passage break down, overthrow, tear down, et cetera, destroy. You know, I've always seen that passage like this, just very briefly, Brian, that I call it a phase A and a phase B. And we'd all love to live in the phase B, but you can't get here's a simple revelation of the day. You can't get to B before unless you go through the door of A, right? So A is
profound
about
and simple.
Is a tearing down, you know. So I think even,
so like renovating a home, for example.
Yeah.
I renovated a home years ago and I couldn't get to the part of like building it up and the fun part apart from the destructive deconstructive part.
Right,
right.
Right. Absolutely. You have to do that. You have to do that. And you got to do that to get to it. We're actually are in the process of doing something very similar to that right now. And so it's very fresh on my mind that's what's happening. So anyway, the Jeremiah passage is basically, and I think nationally where we are and even spiritually where we are in the church, that God is tearing some things down. And I think naturally we're seeing that. Politically, we're seeing that, seeing some things torn down in order to see some things rebuilt. And here's the principle of the kingdom in God. What gets rebuilt is always better than what was there before.
All right, yeah. Do you think that what's happening in macro levels, like nationally, is also happening in personal lives?
You know, I definitely.
I tend to think that way, that there's a trickle-down effect, that it's something like a wave of what God's doing, and there's an opportunity for that.
Definitely it is. I agree 100%. We were having a conversation recently about that very point, Brian, that you can see it nationally, but you can also see it happening in individuals' lives. I think that is. Yeah, absolutely.
So if it's happening, welcome it and celebrate it, right? And look for the potential and the opportunity in it and not see it as just a big negative.
Absolutely.
Well, Hope, we really appreciate you.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thank you for your
content. And I know you're constantly speaking and teaching and conferring with others on these themes. I know it's a part of there's movements and streams within the kingdom that are, you know, resonating on these frequencies. And I know you're running on those currents. So maybe something was sparked in somebody today, you know, maybe seeds were planted, which will come up later. Would you close us in prayer?
Sure.
And along these themes for personal application, you know,
as well as the church. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great.
Lord, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you it's eternal. And Father, today we thank you that, again, we can never exhaust the depths of your word. So, Father, I ask you today that you would breathe life upon the words that we've shared today. And, Father, that they would become ignition points, Father, of personal reformation, personal revelation, and application in people's lives. Father, we ask you today that, Lord, you would call, even as Nehemiah had the wisdom of God to know how to put people in the right places, mm-hmm. the Spirit of the Lord would, even through these words today, that God, you would use them to spark something and, Father, to place people in their right position. So I just close today by saying, Lord, for the church, the ecclesia, to be church, be the ecclesia in God, it means we got to be with the right people in the right places. So we pray that today in the name and the authority of King Jesus, and we honor and exalt your name today above every other name. Amen.
My friend, Christ following is not just personal. It's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's not just about us as individuals. It's also a kingdom community of faith, together expressing the world of Jesus Christ right now, right here. Jesus is a builder. Quest for what he is building. Our minds cannot imagine what is waiting for us in that quest. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and all things will be added to you." Ask the Holy Spirit consistently to teach and lead you about these vital kingdom concepts. Broaden your connectivity. Value kingdom relationships. And know this, that kingdom currency flows in kingdom patterns and connections. Visit JesusSmart.com. There's a free resource waiting for you there. The show notes page for this episode, episode 7. And thank you for rating and reviewing this podcast. It helps others find the content. Appreciate you. Until next time.